Having concluded the laws regarding the five offerings unto the Lord and the way the priesthood should offer those offerings, in the 8th chapter of Leviticus, the concentration moves from the offerings themselves to the ones who offer it. To the priest, the high priest, and his sons. In Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 1 we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done." And Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat, and girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him, and he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head. Also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses took the anointing oil, and anointed the tabernacle, and all that was therein, and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times, and anointed the altar, and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head, and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons, and put coats upon them, and girded them with girdles, and put bonnets upon them, as the Lord commanded Moses. There's a glorious account of the great high priest, of the high priest Aaron, and the way in which he was arrayed and anointed and displayed before the whole congregation as the one who would mediate for them, as the one who at the door of the tabernacle would take those offerings and slay them and shed the blood and burn them before the Lord upon the altar, and take the blood of the offering and go into the holy place and sprinkle that blood on the behalf of the people. This high priest was their hope. This high priest was the one who with such offerings could go on behalf of this wicked, sinful people into the presence of Almighty God and make atonement for them. Except a priest make an offering for them, their sins would slay them and condemn them forever. And except there be found a priest to make an offering for you and I, our sins, our iniquity will slay us and condemn us forever. We need an offering to bring us to peace with the God that we have offended, with the God that we hate with the natural heart, with the God that we despise and reject, with the God who from our birth, from the womb, we have run away from, with that God which this modern world, which science falsely so called, despises and rejects, and goes as far as saying he does not exist. Though creation says to all men, the scientists, the leaders, the ordinary man, you and I, though creation says to all men that there is a God, though the handiwork of this God is seen all around us, though his handiwork, his almighty power and Godhead is seen in the stars, the sun, the moon, the way the earth spins around the sun, the way the earth is set at the perfect distance from sun to preserve life, the way the sun shines and the rain falls to bring forth life upon the earth, the way life begets life, the way man and women, men and women bring forth children, the way animal kind bring forth children, the way each kind brings forth after its own kind. Though all the creation shouts out, there is a God, yet the heart of man, your heart and my heart by nature, says in its heart, there is no God. And yet this God continues to speak. He speaks through the creation. He speaks through his eternal power and Godhead. He speaks from the conscience within, through the conscience within each one of us. And he speaks and shouts to a fallen world that you are guilty. You are at war with me. And you need to be at peace. And those who are given ears to hear, those who are given hearts to receive his speech, those who are made to see the state in which they are, come to see that they need peace, that they need an offering to be made for their sin, and that they need a priest to offer it for them. Now we see in this chapter the priest which God by Moses commanded to be arrayed and anointed and to act on the behalf of the people of Israel at that time. But Aaron, in all his glory, is a picture of that great high priest of whom we read in the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Hebrews 8 tells us, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man had somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth like Aaron, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Because Aaron was a priest after the order of Levi. But Christ was not born of the tribe of Levi. Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. You see, on earth there are priests which offer according to the law, as Aaron did, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shewed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. This high priest, this priest, hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there should be no place sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousnesses, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. But that old covenant, that law and that priest Aaron were given as a picture of the new, and as a picture of this priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of in chapter 4 of Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a great high priest, such an high priest, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We have an high priest. There is one who has offered for the sins of his people. There is one who has made peace with Almighty God. There is one who can take the hardest heart, the filthiest heart, the most corrupt person, the greatest of sinners, and wash them clean, and make them to be the righteousness of God, and bring them by faith to stand before Almighty God, spotless and blameless. O sinner, there is one who is able to save to the uttermost, who is able to take corruption such as yours, to take sin and rebellion such as yours, to take the enmity of a heart like yours and take it away, because he died in the place of sinners such as you, that sinners such as you might live. He was offered up as a burnt offering, burnt upon that altar whose fires never go out. He was offered up as a sacrifice upon that altar which endured the eternal everlasting wrath of Almighty God against sins such as yours and sin such as yours. He was offered as a sin offering upon that altar to shed his blood, to wash away the sins of those for whom he died. He was offered as a trespass offering for the trespasses of his people. He was offered as a meat offering for the sin within their flesh. He was offered as a peace offering to bring them to peace with God. This priest, such an high priest, the great high priest, was not only the priest which brought the offering, but he was also the offering itself. What a high priest. We see some glimpse of his glory, some glimpse of his majesty, some glimpse of just who this priest is in this account in Leviticus 8, where the Lord commands the priest to be brought forth before the people at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and arrayed in his priestly robes and anointed with oil, from whence he goes forth and offers those offerings before the people, who are told to look and to watch and to behold their mediator mediating for them. Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Where are you going today? Where are you going tomorrow? What are your plans for the coming week? Where are your desires? What are you looking to achieve? What are you looking to do? Well, lay them all to one side and come. Come to this door of the tabernacle. Come and gaze on upon a high priest and an offering which brings guilty sinners like you to peace with Almighty God. Look, there's no better place for you to be gathered than with the congregation at the door of the tabernacle, to behold the one who said, I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the bread of heaven. To behold that one, that great high priest, sacrificed for sinners like you. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Come and hear the gospel. Come and gather where Christ and him crucified is preached. Come and behold the Saviour slain. Come and behold the great high priest. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. This is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. The Lord commanded that the high priest should come here this day in the presence of you and be anointed and adorned in his priestly garments and slay the sacrifice and offer it before the Lord to wash you from your sins. And the Lord has commanded that you be gathered to behold, to hear, to see by faith this gospel. How often do I hear religious people say they want to know what the Lord's will is? What is the Lord's will for me? What would the Lord have me to do? I want to serve the Lord. I want to walk in his commandments. What is the Lord's instruction? What would he have me do? Well, I will tell you the great instruction of the Lord for you this day. I will tell you the Lord's will for you this day. I will tell you what the Lord commands for you this day. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I'll tell you what command the Lord has for you this day. This is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. Gather with the congregation around the door of the tabernacle and behold the high priest offering a sacrifice for you. Hear and believe the gospel. This is the will of God, that ye believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what should I do today that you believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? But what must I do in my life tomorrow, in this circumstance, believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? But when trouble comes my way, when trouble comes upon me in work, what must I do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But how will I stand when trouble comes, when sickness comes? What will I know what to do then? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it cannot be so simple. Yes, it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we saw last week, when the disciples on that ship, in the tempest and the storm, thought they'd perish, Christ said unto them, Christ who was with them in the midst on the ship, right before them, said unto them, where is your faith? You think you'll save this ship through doing this and that, when I just need to speak and the storm is calmed. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your state, whatever trouble or trial you're in, whatever you have to do this week, whatever you have to do this year, whatever decisions you need to make in life. Should I take this job? Should I move to this place? Should I marry this woman? Should I buy this land? Should I stand for this? Should I be quiet? Should I speak up? Should I rebuke this man? Should I hold my peace? Should I join this meeting? Should I leave that meeting? Should I go there? Should I go here? Whatever the question, where is your faith? Whatever the question, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. Believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him. And whatever the trouble, take it to him. This is a people with troubles. You are a person with troubles. Your greatest trouble is the sin that separates you from Almighty God. Your greatest trouble are those sins which will plunge you into hell if you have not a high priest who has made an offering on your behalf. Your greatest trouble is the darkness of your fallen nature. Your greatest trouble is your sin. Your greatest trouble is your rebellion. Your greatest trouble is your disobedience. Your greatest trouble is your selfish heart. Your greatest trouble is your sin. And the answer for all your trouble, your greatest trouble, and those small troubles of your everyday life, the answer is to behold this great high priest, anointed, offering for the people at the door of the tabernacle. The entrance place that leads a people out of this earth into the glory of the presence of Almighty God in heaven to come. That's the door of the tabernacle. Here's the meeting place of time and eternity. Here you stand with a congregation, as it were, on the brink of death. And what happens, behold, before them with this great high priest is what decides everything. This is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. What a glorious view we have of Aaron here. A glorious view. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. They were clean. And he put upon him the coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. How this priest was arrayed in righteousness, with glorious robe. How our great high priest Christ is arrayed. The one man who is without sin. The one man who entered this world and never spake, thought, or did one thing wrong. The one man who lived every day for the glory of his Father. He was arrayed in righteousness. Arrayed. Dressed, as it were, with gold. With a golden mitre, clothed with a robe, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hear the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, is set before us in all his perfection. This is the one who intercedes for his people. This is the one who is the mediator between God and men. For we need one who is perfect if our sins are to be taken away. Now Aaron was a figure. And Aaron was but a man, a sinful man like you and I. And though he was dressed according to the commandment of the law, and though he was a wonderful figure and picture of the glory of Christ, in reality Aaron was full of sin himself. Which is why in the previous chapter, towards the end of chapter 7, in concluding the laws regarding the offerings. There are these instructions regarding the portions that Aaron and his sons must have, because their own sins needed to be taken away, for they were but a figure. But Christ had no sin to atone for of his own. He came as the perfect substitute of his people. When Christ was once offered up for many, he was offered up by the eternal Spirit spotless, such that God could transfer the sin and the sins of his people onto him, and he could judge that sin and sins in his Son. And Christ could truly deliver us from them, because he had no sin of his own. No sin. Oh, it's a glorious picture. But it's a picture in which we must be reminded of what it took for Christ, as this great high priest, to offer in the place of his people. For as that perfect Son of God that dwelt with the Father in glory, for him to offer an offering, he must come before the people. He must come to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He must come to where that wicked, corrupt people are. And Christ came. He was humiliated. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto you, and you received him not. He came with his gospel and spake glad tidings unto you, and you shut your ears. He spake in this world and said, I am the truth, and the world said, he's a liar. He spake unto this world the truth that he is the Son of God, and the world said, crucify him. The world put him to death. And in so doing, the offering was offered up, because they could not put him to death except he ordained and purposed it from eternity. And because he would lay down his life, he came unto those who hated him, and he put himself in the hands of the authorities, and at the appointed hour he allowed them to take him and to lead him and to judge him and to crucify him and to slay him in the place of sinners. And when they thought they'd silenced this troubler in Israel, when they thought they'd silenced this man who undermined the authority of the scribes and the Pharisees and their priesthood, when they thought they'd got rid of this challenger, this one who claimed to be the king, when they thought they'd put him to death, in reality, conquered everything which stood in his people's way. In reality, he was glorified in a way that no man was ever glorified. In reality, he brought about a great victory. Oh, what depths he went to deliver his people. We read something of this in John's Gospel. When Christ, our great high priest, is brought before the people. Our great high priest. John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smoutest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas under the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye all have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And they cried out later on, Crucify him, crucify him. This is a tremendous chapter, which shows us this great high priest, the Lord Jesus, the high priest, brought into the hands of the chief priests of Israel, brought into the hands of Caiaphas, the high priest, who hated him. Here's the high priest, of which their position was but a figure, and they rejected him. By their law, they sought to condemn him. And yet here he is, the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the figure of the high priest seen in Aaron, the one of whom they were but a picture. They stood in judgment over him and cried out, Crucify him. And here at the door of that place, in which Caiaphas, the high priest, was, Peter stood outside. Peter was there because he longed to be near his Lord. But he feared. As he feared on that ship when the storm and the tempest came, as he feared of destruction, here he was again in another storm, when another tempest was raging, when again he fears that he may perish. He fears. And here's the great high priest, here's his saviour in the midst, about to bring forth his deliverance. About to bring forth his deliverance. Christ, the high priest, is, as it were, sent forth from this earthly high priest to a place of judgment, to be slain, to be crucified. And his blood is on their hands. Oh, that high priest Caiaphas, he made an offering that day. A lamb was brought before him. And he said of that lamb, slay it. And he knew not what he was doing. But in delivering this Lamb of God into the hands of the Romans and having him slain, he slew the greatest sacrifice that was ever slain. Without knowing what he did, Caiaphas the high priest that day offered up the one offering for sin. But though that happened historically, in reality, it was Christ, the high priest, who took himself to the place of execution and offered himself. Oh, how men perform the will of God without even knowing it. Who is God? Who is sovereign? Who commands and it is done? Who rules? They made their decisions and the will of God was done and the will of man was thwarted. You may make your decisions, but if God determines to save your soul, then you will be brought to the door of the congregation. As Peter stood by that door, out of which the damsel came, who kept the door, and said unto him at that door, she said, "Art thou one of this man's disciples?" And Peter, at that moment, said, "I am not." Well, if God brings you to the door and sets before you a high priest and an offering for sin, what will you answer to that question? Are you his disciple or are you not? Was he slain for you or was he not? Is he your great high priest or is he not? As Peter later said to these Jews after the event, when God stirred him up and gave him that grace and that faith to stand before this people whom he had seen slay his Saviour, he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Oh, have you with the wicked hands of your rebellious heart taken Christ and slain him?" Well, if you have, and I tell you, you have, then may God, by his gospel, speak unto you this day, as Peter spoke unto these that day, and point you to Jesus of Nazareth, the great high priest, who at the door of the tabernacle was anointed with oil, God's anointed Saviour, was adorned in the robes of the priest, and offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. Offered. See, the Jews desired to keep the law that God commanded by Moses unto Aaron, and in their desire they slew the Son of Righteousness, which stood in their midst. Have you seen him? Have you seen him in his death? Have you seen him risen again, the other side of the grave, glorified? Can you see him as John saw him on Patmos, as it were in heaven's glory, arrayed and righteous and glorious, shining light, having offered that one sacrifice for sin? The Lord commanded that Aaron be arrayed and anointed, but he also commanded that Aaron's sons be arrayed. And every one for whom Christ died, for whom he shed his blood, is his son, and is anointed with him, and arrayed with him, and made to be a priest with him, and made to sit with him in heavenly places, because he's entered in on their behalf. Which is why the writer to the Hebrews can say, when speaking of this great high priest, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us behold this Saviour glorified in the midst. Oh, hear the gospel and believe on the Son of God. For this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. Amen.